When you hear that school bell, you know it is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And today it's time for the special feature when we are going to read from the Rock Cliff Review. Now this is the bulletin that is passed out to those who attend the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff on Sunday mornings. And in that bulletin, that's what the Rock Cliff Review is. And in that bulletin, I usually have somewhat of a summation of my sermon. In fact, I guess if you don't want to listen to the sermon, you can just take the bulletin and read that. And my purpose is to provide various ways of teaching, both by what is written and by what is spoken. And in the bulletin for that particular Sunday, if you had come on this particular Sunday, you would hear a sermon that was titled, Without Honor in His Own Country. And this is how it was presented in the Rock Cliff Review. John tells us that Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not. John 1 and verse 11. He is speaking generally of the Jews. But Jesus was not received in his own country. Matthew 13:54 and 57 and Mark chapter 6 verse 1 and verse 4. His own country was Nazareth. Mary and Joseph were of Nazareth. And upon their return from Egypt they made their home there. This village was a little south of the Sea of Galilee, about midway between that sea and the great sea, at the edge of the hills overlooking the coastal plain. It was not on its way to anything, so there was no reason to pass by Nazareth except to go there. It was isolated and obscure. There is no mention of Nazareth in the Old Testament. Nazareth had a lowly reputation bordering on contempt. Nathanael said in John 1 and verse 46, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" When Jesus was called Jesus of Nazareth, there's an implication of his lowliness. Isaiah had said that the Messiah would be despised and rejected of men. He is one of the prophets that told of a lowly Messiah. That is why Matthew said in Matthew 2 and verse 32, "He came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene." Luke tells us of Jesus' coming to Nazareth in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 32. How he stood in the synagogue and read from Isaiah. How he told them they were seeing the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecies. How they rejected him. How he reminded them that the Gentiles had accepted God when Israel had not. How they were filled with wrath and sought to cast him down headlong from the brow of their hill. He was without honor in his own country. It is in Nazareth that Matthew and Mark introduce us to Jesus' family. Mark 13:55-56 and Mark 6 and verse 3. This is not the first time we've met them. We read about them in Mark 3, verses 31 through 35. But now we have their names. Neither of the accounts mention Joseph by name. So it is supposed that Joseph was now dead. Though not named here, we learn that Joseph had been a carpenter in Matthew 13:55, because they said of Jesus, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" And we learn that Jesus himself was a carpenter in Matthew 6 and verse 31, for there it is recorded that they said, "Is this not the carpenter?" Jesus would have known what it was to earn his bread by the sweat of his face. He worked as a carpenter, and forever dignified common manual labor. Those who think they are too dignified to labor as Jesus labored are indeed too dignified. No one should ever be ashamed of being a working person, and some should be ashamed that they are not. We have the names of the four brothers of Jesus and the mention of his sisters. Matthew says all his sisters rather than both, which may indicate that he had three or more. At this time, the brothers of Jesus did not receive him as Jesus Christ. James later called James the Lord's brother, in Galatians 1:19, but James, in James 1:1, he identified himself as the Lord's servant. Jude would later refer to himself as the servant of Jesus and as the brother of James in Jude chapter 1 and verse 1. The villagers of his own country were astonished at Jesus' teaching, Mark chapter 6 and verse 2, and offended at him, Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. And Jesus marveled because of their unbelief, Mark chapter 6 and verse 6. Why the unbelief? For they had the evidence of his wisdom, of his miracles, and the testimony of those who had seen and heard. For faith cometh by hearing. Was it because of their familiarity with him? Because of the envy of the attention he was receiving? Or because he was not the kind of Messiah they had expected? The Nazarenes were too small, too narrow, too ignorant, too backward, and too bigoted to look past their own feet. One of the things we learn from this account is that unbelief is not intellectual. It sometimes parades itself as such, but it is a false argument. Underbelief is the abandonment of reason for bigotry. The evidence is abundant for those who would believe, but people choose unbelief because men love darkness rather than light and because their deeds were evil. John 3 and verse 19. With such evidence at hand, unbelief is a sign of mental laziness, inflated egos, and moral cowardice. It was not the prophet's fault that his own received him not. Some who attain notoriety make themselves out to be something they are not, and his home folks know better. But this was not a case with Christ. If Jesus was not the Christ, then where did he learn such things? And how did he do these mighty works? The deeper you look into the evidence, the more undeniable it is. There's no excuse for unbelief. His brothers did not believe, but they repented and became his servants. And you can too. Now that was the gist of the sermon that was preached at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff that Sunday morning. I read that because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's return to the Sunday school lesson that we're studying from Mark chapter 1 about Jesus on a missionary tour. And we were reading the words that led up to this. The Sunday school lesson begins in Mark 1 and verse 35, but we were reading Mark chapter 1 verses 9 through 34. And I'm going to begin there at verses 29 and let you know this is leading up to the text of our lesson. Mark chapter 1 and verse 29 says, "And straightway, when they were come in out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and straightway they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and raised her up, and the fever left her, and she ministered unto them." Mark 1 and verse 32. "And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were sick, and them that were possessed with demons, and all the city was gathered at the door. And he healed many that were sick with divers diseases, and cast out many demons, and he suffered not the demons to speak, because they knew him, Now, Mark 1 and verse 35 begins the text for our Sunday school lesson. And in the morning, a great while before the day, he rose up and went out and departed into a desert place and there prayed. And we're going to pick up that in just a moment. But first, I want us to review the introductory notes that E.A. Elam had made for the Sunday school lesson on this text in the Sunday school material he prepared for the Sunday schools of September the 21st, 1924. It was stated in the last lesson that Jesus heard of the imprisonment of John the Baptist, and so he came to Galilee, or as Matthew says, he withdrew to Galilee, Matthew 4 and verse 12. It was on this tour through Galilee that he was rejected at Nazareth, as we had learned from the last lesson and as from we learned from reading the Rockcliffe Review earlier in this class. In Matthew 4, verses 13 through 17, we read an account of Jesus preaching at this time in Galilee. At Capernaum and around the Sea of Galilee, Jesus did most of his marvelous works and spent most of his public life. The Sea of Galilee itself was formed by a depression in the ground, where the River Jordan simply spread out, for it ran to the northern end of the sea and out to the southern end. This was also called the Sea of Tiberias in John chapter 6 and verse 1, from the city of that name on its border. Gennesaret, from the beautiful plain on its northwestern angle. Chinneroth, from a town of that name in Numbers 34 and verse 11, Deuteronomy 3:17, Joshua 11:2 and 12:3 and 13:27. It was the Sea of Galilee from the province of Galilee on its western border. It is 13 miles long and 6 miles across in the widest place. The region round about it was the most densely settled of all Palestine. And there are no less than 9 cities right on its shore. In its waters, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, with many other, fished as an honest occupation. Now, the theme of Christ's preaching was this: the gospel of God. The time was fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The gospel here means the glad tidings, and you might see that noted in the margin of your Bible. If it is so noted, that's simply the meaning of the word gospel, the good news, or the glad tidings. And here, in this context, the glad tidings that the kingdom of God approaches and has come nigh. Jesus called 4 disciples to leave their work and follow him: Andrew, Peter, James, and John. And on the Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue at Capernaum and taught. His teaching astonished all. He cast a demon out of a man to the amazement of all. The report of him went immediately everywhere throughout all the region of Galilee. From the synagogue, Jesus and his disciples went at once into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, and he healed Peter's mother-in-law of a great fever. The Sabbath ended at sundown, so after sunset, the Jews could bear burdens and go to their general work. So after sunset this day, all the city, comparatively speaking, was gathered at the door of this house, having brought unto him all that were sick and all that were possessed of demons. They may have come after sunset, too, because it was cool. And they believed Jesus could heal all of them. And Jesus did this. Matthew 8 and verse 16. Jesus was able to heal them with a word. This was a very busy day. And Jesus led a busy and eventful life. Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse 4, "We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Well, with that, we're going to put a note in our Sunday school book and begin at the text. You may want to mark your Bible, Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, where Jesus goes out to pray and then does his missionary tour.